The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody and with your heart to the Lord. That certainly tells you a lot about what should characterize our singing of hymns. It's to be from the heart. Always giving thanks for all things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of God. 1789 was a long time ago. Lots happened since then. One thing that has not happened is that we haven't abolished Thanksgiving. George Washington says it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. We've been studying about providences, and that was very much on his mind. To obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, to humbly implore his protection and favor. But he goes on naming the day. He concludes by saying that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble things. Those were days when it was okay to be politically correct. And long before George Washington issued this proclamation, the Apostle Paul issued one. The Apostle Paul set before you and me the duty of giving thanks, and you heard me right. I did use that word duty. Paul could issue that exhortation, making it a duty because his own conscience was at liberty. His whole life was characterized by thankfulness. He emanated it, even from a dark dungeon. Again and again, his epistles, 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 8:16, but thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God. Not only did Paul frequently exclaim, thanks be to God, he himself personally often gave thanks to God. In this epistle of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, "Do not cease giving thanks for you." To the Colossian believers, he wrote, "We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." To the believers at Thessalonica, "We give thanks to God always for all of you." And it was with these credentials that the apostle gives the exhortation to give thanks. And that exhortation is what concerns us this morning. So back to Ephesians 5:18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord always. Giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." What is it that we need to know, to understand, to grasp in this matter of giving thanks? Just two little words. Thank you. That's all. Two little words. Thank you. There's a commentator by the name of William Hendrickson who lists three things that should characterize those two little words. That the blessings which we enjoy were bestowed upon us so that in all honesty we cannot give himself the credit of them, and I cannot take the credit. That needs to be integrated, woven into the fabric. The understanding that I'm the beneficiary of these blessings. Here's another one, that I'm totally unworthy, not deserving. And the last issue that he deals with is this: those benefits are great beyond my imagination, and they are many. I cannot number them. We're the recipients of blessing, of benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits." Do we? Do we forget them? Dear ones, I would submit to you on the eve of Thanksgiving that we be careful and think and not forget. That's very important. We have a lot on our mind. We have a lot to do, a lot of responsibilities. But you have a responsibility to keep in your mind and in your heart the blessings that God bestows upon you. And think about them. Get alone with God and just open up your heart and say, Lord, I want to thank you for this, for this, for this, on purpose. Because if you don't, you'll forget. Are we as careful about thanking God for his blessings as we are writing a thank you note for someone who did a favor for us or gave us something? There are three things I want you to keep in mind. Number one, the blessings which we enjoy were bestowed or given by God. He's behind it. He initiated it. David acknowledges something very close to that when he writes in Psalm 100 and verse 3, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his product. And everything that comes to us in life, materially, spiritually, physically, God bestows it. He gives it. He engineers it. He brings it about. He provides it. I sure was lucky. No. 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 God is the one who has blessed me. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, even acknowledged it in terms of what he was as Paul. He says, for by the grace of God, I am what I am. Even our bare being of who we are, what we are, our abilities, our talents, our gifts are God-given. The pervasive philosophy of our day refuses to acknowledge that benefits are received, but rather takes the position that they are achieved by one's own self-effort, or you owe it to me. That's the philosophy of our day. Yes, we must be disciplined people and self-motivated and diligent. But what I am saying is this, that the world's philosophy is wrong when it fails to realize that the ability and the opportunities to achieve are blessings which we receive from God, not from the federal government or county government or city government. Amen. It's a blessing of God. And let me just say this, and don't forget it. God can withhold those things as easy as he can give. Second thing I want us to know is this. We are totally unworthy. That's kind of hard to take, isn't it? That's a sharp truth, isn't it? You know why it's a sharp truth? Due to that pride that's always there to some degree or another. And you know where our unworthiness can be traced back to? Adam, the fallen man. Total depravity, that's right, I use the word total. Men like to believe that they're not totally depraved. Maybe a little. What is depravity? Well, here's a simple definition. Depravity is being as bad off as you can be, but not as bad as you could be. See the difference? Being as bad off as you can be in your state, but not necessarily having carried out your sinful nature to being as bad as you could possibly be. You could always go further in your sin. But you cannot be 1 ounce as bad off as you are in terms of your state. It's interesting how most men think they're pretty good. My dear grandmother, I trust that she came to know the Lord. I believe there's some reason to think so. But as a child, and visiting and my parents being there with me and her daughter, my mother, witnessing to her about the Lord, her attitude could be summed up in this: I'm as good as any man, person, and better than most. And she took great pride in that. Very self-righteous. The Pharisee stood praying, "I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax gatherer." And besides that, I fast twice a week and pay tithes of all I get. I'm as good as anybody. Better than most. I don't do this, I don't do this. And besides that, I help the poor. Do you know what this was? That was a public testimony of his own abject unworthiness. He was rotten to the core. And he was making it known. The publican, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." That sums it up. Unworthy. You know, this has further reaching implications beyond just our character and our standing. Those who hold the position that man has the ability in and of himself, apart from God's sovereign intervention, to savingly believe on Christ are in essence proclaiming that man is unworthy. not totally unworthy. And that statement's full of doctrine. And I can carry that a step further. Dear people, we will never be truly thankful for the blessings which God bestows upon us, including salvation, until we're brought to see that except the biblical truth that we are totally unworthy to receive even the least favor from God grips our heart. And there's a third thing. I mentioned it a while ago, our blessings. Our blessings, dear people, are great and manifold. The psalmist says, "How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand." They're manifold. They're without number. And unless, and until we're overwhelmed by the awareness that the blessings which we have received are far beyond our ability ever to enumerate, we will never be motivated to truly give thanks to God. I mean genuinely, sincerely, coming, welling up from the heart. That doesn't mean we can't say it with our lips. As we say in Spanish, de los dientes para afuera, meaning from the teeth out. You know, I believe if we were to actually really sit down and think how many blessings we receive in one day, we would be amazed. I mean, how many blessings do we get every day? Comfortable, warm bed, that's a blessing. Warm shower, that's a blessing. Clothes to wear, that's a blessing. On and on and on. And those things can be withheld. The question could be asked, and of course it's answered for us in earlier comments. We give our thanks to the one from whom we have received the blessing. If I get a gift from Michael, I don't sit down and write a thank you card to Stephen. I'll write the thank you note to Michael. God is the author of all of these benefits and blessings. We give thanks to Him. And you know why? Because God is the first cause. And beyond sending a thank you note to my brother, I thank God because it was God who initiated it and motivated my brother to do me a favor. Well, I guess that spells accountability, doesn't it? Recognizing from my heart that I have an accountability to be thankful Unthankfulness is prevalent. Unthankfulness is a grievous sin. Unthankfulness can bring soul-condemning consequences. You know by now that I really have a love for good, solid biblical hymns. There's a hymn based on Psalm 103. Listen to the words. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all within me join and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favors are divine. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, nor let his mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. 'Tis he forgives my sins. 'Tis he relieves thy pain. 'Tis he that heals thy sickness and makes thee young again. He crowns thy life with love when ransomed from the grave. He redeemed my soul from hell, hath sovereign power to save. Think of that. We have every reason over and over again to be thankful. When should we do this? Thanksgiving Day. No, that's okay. No, dear people, we ought to give thanks all the time. It ought to be a major part of our personal prayer life. It ought to be a part of our meals when we sit down to eat. Not just routine stuff, but from the heart. Giving thanks to God. In fact, we saw in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things. And you know something? It's okay to give thanks to God for those future anticipated blessings. It's okay to say, Lord, we thank you that day by day and week by week you make your presence known. That's advance thanksgiving for anticipated and expected future blessing. Well, may God make us a thankful people. I want to close with a statement. Giving thanks is an acknowledgement that we are unworthy to receive the blessing except through the infinite merits of our Lord. That's the essence of it. It's an admission of our unworthiness. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence among us today, for your word, eternal, forever settled in heaven. And Lord, we must confess that your blessings bestowed upon us indeed outnumber the sands of the seas. Help us, Lord, not to forget them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.